Good evening. So
same old.
Is that Fat Albert and John Lennon or George Lennon?
Something like that. As far as what's going on, I will say same circus, different clowns. It's the same old nonsense out there. Romper Room, yay!
That's about right. We're going to talk survival gardening today for a bit.
Oh, excellent.
All right. Okay. So I hope you both have your crayon out and are ready to take some notes here, because I'm going to give you some tips on not just what to do in the case of when stuff hits the fan and going to garden, but just what kind of garden you want to grow in that situation. You know, you can't just go into it and grow any kind of garden. If you think that growing pansies and lilies are going to help help you survive, you got another thing coming. But we'll get into that in just a little bit. And for the Matt's going to have the next lawn.
Bill.
Matt, okay. Way in the distance there, confirming. Okay. Well, Jordan Maxwell is not only coming on the show tomorrow, but he's also going to be a featured speaker at the upcoming Free Your Mind conference.
So okay, we just
released that info today, and we're very excited about that. Some of the things that we want to pay attention to in our discussion about survival gardening today, one being calories. You know, calories are something that everybody tries to cut back on. But in a survival situation, you're going to definitely want to watch your calorie intake in the sense that you're getting enough calories. You see these poor folks in Haiti that are eating, what is it, mud pies? Absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever, no calories. But it at least makes their stomachs feel a little less uncomfortable. Calories in a survival situation are important. And when you're growing a garden for a survival situation, you want to grow food that has a decent calorie count. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk also in that same vein about protein and fat. Then one of the things you want to talk about is storage. What kind of food can you grow that's actually going to stay good and sustain you and your family? So we'll talk about storage, different items, how they store, you know, the perishability of items and so on and so forth. We'll talk about preservation in that similar vein there. We'll talk about canning. We'll talk about how to take those foods and either dehydrate them, can them, bury them, I don't know, whatever you got to do to keep that food in your possession for a prolonged period of time. I will also talk about seed saving a bit, because I think that's a big part of sustaining your garden. It's not just a wham-bam, thank you, ma'am. In a long-term situation, you're not only going to want to grow a flash garden, but you're going to want to sustain that garden year after year. And with certain perennials and seed saving techniques and so on and so forth, that will be a reality for you and your family. So these are all kind of the highlights of tonight's topic on survival gardening. But before we get to that, we're going to do a segment that we like to call In the News with the Caribbean Critic, if you guys can handle it, that is. Without further ado, John, are we ready for an In the News segment?
You certainly are, yes. Stranger things are happening. Looks like the second CNN debate was quite a dog and pony show, but Mr. Trump appears to have come out on top yet again. And in the UK, the new leader of the opposition, Jeremy Corbyn, had his first session at Prime Minister's Question Time, and apparently he made a very good impression, almost to the point of embarrassment. The government was embarrassed by how well he did against David Cameron, so with the fight he's on in the UK. We know that the Prime Minister of Australia was ousted, and one of his ex-ministers is actually now the leader and Prime Minister of Australia, and it looks like it's a change of direction, because he resigned from the government earlier because he opposed the government narrative agenda. So it looks like we're going to have a quick turnaround in Australia. And things are getting rather exciting. It now looks that Mr. Putin, who's been putting military equipment and troops into Syria, has now convinced, if you like, the American State Department in the name of John Kerry and the Pentagon to have military-to-military talks. Now, we know why Mr. Putin put his troops in there, because the American military were bombing to break ISIS, but beat ISIS. This is another marvelous quick information. This is all the time Mr. Putin has managed to checkmate Mr. Obama in this game of chess, world chess. And Mr. Obama, who seems to be insisting
on about this geopolitical chess game that you're describing. Do you remember a guy by the name of George W. Bush?
The decider.
Yeah, do you remember this guy?
Who gets his words straight from God.
Yeah, that guy. And not only does he get words straight from God and hold children's books upside down as he's getting the news about, the choreographed false flag attack, but he also likes to vacation and ride horses. He likes to ride horses. And you know who he likes to ride horses with as he looks into his eyes and sees the type of man that he is?
Give us a clue, Bobby.
Vladimir.
How about that?
Vladimir Putin. So, not for a second do I think that the powers that shouldn't be have carefully choreographed this so-called rivalry or whatever you want to call it. I just don't think that Russia is a genuine factor in the geopolitical stage. Yes, they will be used as a figurehead, if you will. But at the end of the day, when all is said and done, the powers that shouldn't be already have control over both of these entities. What say you, John?
Well, I'm unsure of the role Mr. Putin is playing, but he certainly isn't playing by the rules of the New World Order. So, who knows what the eventual outcome will be. But there's one thing certain, Mr. Putin is a Russian nationalist. So, I don't know. But it seems that the puts a brick wall up and stops them dead. So who knows? He may be an opponent of the New World Order, or he just may be acting a part, playing the part. Who knows? We need more.
By the way, another quick announcement about the Free Your Mind conference. We just added another speaker. His name is Edward Snowden. You ever hear of him?
Really?
Yeah, the same Mr. Snowden that just revealed that Mrs. Clinton's emails were part of a espionage ring?
I don't know who you're talking about. Anyways, John, anything else in the news? Of course, the Fed came out today and said that they were not going to mess with the interest rates, but they're going to do it at some point. They keep threatening.
Yeah, I don't think they can do it. If the moment they raise the rates, the stock market will collapse, and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah, the wheel will
do it. June,
But is the prior Fed announcement, and they all wait on that. People wish they'd just keep their trap shut.
Their trap shut. I get it. Ha ha ha.
Is that the Venus trap?
Yeah. Something like that, but a little bit uglier.
I think we should get onto the gardening for survival.
You think so?
Absolutely.
All right, so you like that plan. John, you're starting to garden there out in the Caribbean, aren't you?
Yeah. I have a raised bed garden.
Okay.
It is all covered in chicken wire to prevent the birds and butterflies getting at our veggies. I have lots of fruit trees, plum trees, lettuce. I've got moringa.
Moringa is great. I can't say enough about moringa. That's an awesome plant.
Yeah, I got 27 of those trees. And in the garden, I got cabbages, cauliflower, lettuce, carrots, butternut squash, sweet potatoes, tomatoes of two varieties.
Sweet potatoes are a perennial crop. They're great to have. All good stuff. Well, let's go ahead and get into it then, and you'll see if you can bounce back some of the ideas here. And I know, David, you're also very much interested in this topic.
Oh, and absolutely.
I just want to say before I get into our survival gardening talk that tonight's survival gardening talk is brought to you by Doritos. Doritos now has a product called Doritos Rainbows. Not only is it in full support of the homosexual agenda, it also has extra food coloring on top of their genetically modified MSG-ridden poison chips. Doritos Rainbows, now in a store near you. Poison yourself, taste the rainbow, taste the homosexual agenda, taste the poison.
Man, it just keeps getting better, man. I was just getting used to that noggles instead of mayonnaise. How about that?
There you go. So thank you, Doritos, for supporting tonight's Survival Gardening Show. All right. So the thing I mentioned was calories, protein, and fats. All of the components are necessary because you need to eat. So let's figure out how much you need to eat first. Figuring out how much food you need to grow. Because you can't always eat everything that you grow. Well, maybe you should try to. Ideally, how many people will you need to feed? Dave, how many people you have to feed over there?
About a half a dozen.
Okay. And is that including some of your close neighbors and close friends and family?
Pretty much.
Okay, because that's another thing. You know, when you're considering how many people you want to grow food for, go ahead and double it. Because the chances are in a survival situation, there's going to be a neighbor or a friend who's going to need to eat. And the last thing you want to have to do is see that person hungry.
That, and yeah. You also will have people that will have other supplies and things you need. And everybody needs to eat. And food is a very highly tradable commodity there. It doesn't matter what the economy is doing, whether or not there's Federal Reserve notes or anything. Everybody needs to eat. And you also kind of want to pad things out in case you have harsh weather, things like that, and early, late frost, that kind of thing, you know, that could otherwise damage the food. You don't want to try to, you know, run that down to the wire, because any little thing that is a fault in that system, and all of a sudden you're going to be faced with and that's not a situation to be in.
Great points, David. Great points. Well, you want to figure out just how many people you want to feed. And that's, something that you should take into consideration in order to methodically plan out your garden, your survival garden. Now, once you've figured that out, you want to figure out which food to grow, of course, and, of course, in which abundance you want to grow that food. So
there's something else to consider with that, because depending on your climate and your soil and things like that, some things are going to grow better than others, and it's good to do a little bit of research on your area to figure out what is going to go best for your climate and your area and your soil like that now, while you still have an opportunity to optimize what you got. And also be sure that you have an adequate water supply to keep your garden irrigated.
We'll get to that. But let's talk about a few crops that are high in calories and will help to feed nutritious food, or at least calorie-rich food, to you and your family once you've figured out, you know, how many people are you going to feed and roughly how much food you'll need. The first crop is winter squash. Winter squash is a really great crop. It's people who have volunteers from their compost pile, David, and they just take off. And next thing they know, they didn't even plant butternut squash, acorn squash, you name it.
Resistance to you will be assimilated.
I can tell you from experience, my butternut squash is taking over the whole end of my raised bed, and there's squash growing now. They're about 2 or 3 inches long, and they've only been in 3-4 weeks.
All right, well, we have to squash this segment of the Bob Tusnet Show, but when we get back, we will guard it some more.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
This is Public Announcement. Be ready to copy down a website address at the end of this message. First off, a big thank you to people from Oregon, California, New York, Maine, Connecticut, Saskatchewan, Canada. People are logging on to Landho.tv, and they are purchasing land in the United States in sunny New Mexico for as low as $350 down and $99 a month. In 1 year, you own the land. These are usable parcels in a development that can only be worth more money in the years to come. Similar lots in the same development are sold for up to $15,000. So it really is a no-brainer. Visit Landho.tv to purchase yours today via PayPal. Other mainstream investments are good, but they sit in a vault. Land remains a true investment that you can use while it can increase in value. Current land prices are already going up, and this commercial could be pulled at any time, so you must act fast, because when these properties are gone, on $350 down, $99 a month. Landho.tv. LANDHO.TV. Right now.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone 1-866-37-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
To their names can be added those of hundreds and thousands of others who stood in the way of the new order.
Right now.
Isn't what we're building for.
Welcome back to the Tuscan Show. We're talking gardening, survival gardening in particular, which is a bit different than your just laissez-faire gardening. And we've been talking about calories and how to grow the right crops that will produce the right yield to feed the numbers of people that you have and so on and so forth. And the last crop we were just discussing is winter squash, something that a lot of people have in their gardens as we speak. I know I do. They're certainly taking off. Winter squash, in addition to just being so prolific, is also high in vitamins and starch calories. Some winter squash store better and longer than others. That's the other cool thing. Because winter squash is something that, if you get the right varieties, will store a long time, especially if you keep it in a cool, dry spot, maybe a cellar. You know, that's something we can't do here in North Central Florida. But there's hacks around that even, and I would love to be able to figure out ways to store my squash in a cool, dry place, even if you just dehydrate it after harvesting some. You know, there's all sorts of tricks, but squash, hard squash, usually stays a long time. It's pretty good crop for calories and all that. All right, so potatoes are another one. Believe it or not, Dave, potatoes are relatively high in protein.
I mean, I know that for a fact. We grow some of the best sweet potatoes up around in here. We let them grow too long; they'll get to be the size of basketballs. There, Bob, those things grow like mad.
Yeah, and sweet potatoes are very nutritious.
I love sweet potato.
And again, if they're kept in a very cool and dark place, they'll store for a long time. But keep them away from apples. Did you know that?
I've heard that.
You got to keep your potatoes away from the apples. They just don't mix well.
Yeah, you don't want to have the potato-apple hybrid babies or anything like that. They're kind of dangerous.
Hey. One spoiled apple can ruin the bunch.
Oh, yeah. They very well can.
Two other crops that I think are worth noting. Beans, of course.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a staple.
Great. You can dry them. They grow really well. Bush beans, pole beans. You know, there's tons of different varieties. Grow beans. They give you quite a bit of flatulence, but that's okay.
Hey, beans, the magical fruit, the more you eat, the more you toot. But hey, it's all good to keep you alive.
Hey, I rather toot a bit than drop dead, right?
You damn right.
You know, they're high in protein. And, yeah, they're a bit labor-intensive to grow and shell. But they're great. There's some good varieties that I have collected over the years. I got Jacob Cowles beans. And I have, what's this variety of bean that I have? Tiger eyes? I don't know. I have tons of them. I've been collecting beans for a long time. In fact, way back when, Big John Lipscomb. Do you guys remember Big John Lipscomb?
Oh, I remember Big John.
Yeah, he was great. And he sent me a whole collection of survival seeds. He had the company Survival, and he sent me all sorts of beans. And I still have those beans. And I tell you what, I'm still planting them. And they're still sprouting, talking about seed saving. When I get back, I'm going to tell you about sunflower seeds and other nuts, of course. But sunflower seeds are an awesome survival crop. And in just a few moments, we'll tell you why sunflower seeds are so awesome. We'll also talk about where storage. It's starting to get cold in many parts of the country. We'll talk about other crops as well in addition to that, and just how much you'll need as far as land is concerned, and how much, amendments you'll need for your soil and so on and so forth. Because it's not just growing the food you'll eat, but it's growing the food that will sustain the compost that will grow the food that you eat and so on and so forth. Bob Tuckin Show, Survival Gardening Tonight, and we'll also get your insights at 800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first shoe ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great new product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER14 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Money. What is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth $1. So now our money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue to print more of it. But what if you run around $1 at a time and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. How can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is worth less than $5. You can be getting your almost worthless currency so it's accessible. Just like a savings account. A savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
This is a public announcement. Be ready to copy down a website address at the end of this message. Friends, you heard our commercial talking about land in Mexico for $350 down and $99 a month, and we really appreciate your response. But land parcels are get scarce. Current prices are already going up, and the commercial meant you're hearing now could be pulled at any time, so you should act quickly. Our company acquired this development at a great price, and we're able to sell parcels to you at an unheard of $350 down and $99 a month, and at the end of only 1 year, you own it. Purchase via PayPal at landho.tv. LANDHO.TV. And this isn't a swampland deal, folks. This is your chance to own a piece of our great chain in the foothills of beautiful mountain range. Perfect place to camp anytime or have as an emergency retreat for your family for generations to come. And at $350 down and only $99 a month, it's a no-brainer. Land as a gift or hedge against economic disaster. Visit LANDHO.TV. LANDHO.TV right now.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
Lucifer, son of the morning! Chase you out of earth.
I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space.
Welcome back to the Bob Tuskin Show. So I was just telling you a few great crops to grow. A lot of this is intuitive, but I think it's worth focusing on. One of the great crops that's high in protein and fats is sunflower seeds. They're probably one of your best bets for fat from a survival garden. They're easy to grow and also high in protein.
Also very storable.
Very storable. There's different varieties that you should focus on, David, that have large headed oily varieties, and they're sure to protect you and family with some good fat. And fat's important. You know, I think a lot of people underestimate the importance of fat in their diets. I know a lot of people are now very much in tune to paleo philosophies and so on and so forth. We've interviewed cornucopia, no pun intended, people on that topic. And people are hip to it now, which is a good thing. It's a good thing. But yeah, grow some sunflower seeds. Of course, nuts are another great source. If you happen to live where almonds, walnuts, if you're really blessed, or pine nuts grow.
How about these nuts?
2016, baby.
2016?
David, you're just looking for an opportunity to drop a these nuts on the show at any time.
Absolutely.
Who can blame you?
We got to support our guy, man. You know, the pissed off and angry party isn't getting the love it's supposed to.
John, are you finally hip with D's nuts? Last night you were a little weary of D's nuts.
He was with us last night, yes.
Did you watch him in the debate?
Nope, I didn't watch the debate. I make a point of not watching the ridiculous
Antonios.
They cause brain damage, actually, so John, you're a wise man for not watching.
I saw a great comment the other day, or yesterday, I don't know what day it is. What time is it? I'm exhausted. Anyways, I saw something that said something along the lines of, I didn't watch the debate, I'm not stupid, or something like that. Actually, that's not what it said at all. I can't remember what it said, but it was good. It was real good. Back
obviously,
to survival gardening.
Obviously, it wasn't good enough to remember anyway. Yeah, back to survival gardening.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. All right, so the sunflower seeds, beans, let me just check my list here, nuts, including us, and these nuts, and 2016 maybe. And you tell me what else in the high-calorie, high-fat department that you think we should grow. John mentioned Moringa a moment ago. Moringa has a ton of nutrition. You know about Moringa?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, that's some good stuff. There's all sorts of things that you can grow that, you know, not only, you know, have some good calories and energy to it, but are actually damn yummy. You know, and pretty healthy foods out there. One of the things that's pretty interesting about a really properly designed survival garden, if you're having to eat out of that for a couple of years, surviving off the grid, you're going to find that by the end of that time, you're going to be a lot more healthy by the time you finish eating the natural, you know, whole foods that you're growing yourself than the crap that you're getting at the grocery store. So how about that? You know, so not only are we telling you how to have a survival garden, it's also a more, you know, healthy, sustainable idea, you know, for, you know, longevity and good health. So, you know, it really kind of fits hand in hand because, you know, health is a concern, especially in survival situations, because you can't afford to be sick. And if you're not eating all the GMO stuff and all the sawdust and laced, you know, crap that they're selling at the grocery stores, you might actually start feeling a little bit better.
Well, although you can't grow it where there's going to be a frost, Moringa is a wonderful plant. The seed pods themselves, you can grind them up, and it's a natural flocculant. It has its own antibiotics in, and you can use it to filter pond water, and it's perfectly drinkable when it comes out the other end.
Interesting.
Yeah, how about that? It's natural. How about that?
Are you a big piss drinker, Sean?
Well, the only problem is with eating the Moringa seeds is they have a very distinctive, strong taste, a bit like aniseed, only a little bit bitter.
I'm sorry, John, how do you know what anise tastes like?
Oh, how do I know that? Depends how close I've got behind people.
I mean, geez, how are you going to tell me, you know, what anise seeds like to compare it to Moringa seeds?
Well, aniseed, they are, it's quite a pungent, sweet, if you like.
I'm kind of disgusted hearing about you describing your flavor of anise. It's really disgusting.
Well, it's good for you.
Well, it might be good for me, but I'm not a tosser, so I really don't want to hear it.
And the other thing is, of course, with the Moringa, you can eat everything.
Yeah, and it has so much calcium in it. Oh, did I say that already?
And vitamin C and vitamin B and all the essential amino acids and nutrients, plus some extra ones. So there
good
you go.
Stuff. Hey, guys, talk amongst yourself for a second. I got to plug my computer in here. It's about to die.
Oh, no. How to die. Okay, well, we're talking about gardening because there are so many
things. How to build a garden, I think. No, gardening isn't just a matter of putting a spade in the ground. If you want a really productive garden, a raised bed is the way to go. Basically, all you're doing is creating little walls where you put about a foot of topsoil in, which is above normal ground level, you don't bother digging the ground underneath where you're putting this topsoil in. The worms and everything from your garden will till that lower soil, and it's great for growing root crops, particularly onions, carrots, and beetroot and such like that.
Oh, absolutely.
And you'd be surprised, because of this raised bed, it's nicely drained. You can water it every day and you'll never waterlog it. And apparently, I mean, the fruit crops really love that environment. You get massive carrots and beet and onions and things out of it.
Yep, we just made quite a few raised beds here on the property. And the cool thing was, I have a chainsaw now, so I was able to go and take some dead trees and create the borders using these dead trees. And the only problem I had was moving the compost and topsoil that I had. I bought a whole truckload and bringing it over to these raised beds. I didn't do it fast enough. It wasn't the hard work that bothered me. It was the amount of time I had bringing load after load after load to fill up these beds. And I still have a couple beds that I intend to make that have yet to be filled. But it's a work in progress. It's hard work, I'll tell you that. Definitely is, especially when you have mosquitoes buzzing around you, biting
you.
Oh,
yeah, I absolutely hate the mosquitoes. Well, the raised beds are a great idea, and you can also, you know, if you really have to, for any number of reasons, make portable raised beds that, you know, on the rare occasions that you get those cold snaps and frost and stuff like that, you can actually drag them inside if you have to, if you've got like a big barn or something
like
that.
How do you make a portable raised bed?
Oh, that's easy enough.
Last season, we used, you know, the 45-gallon oil drums, cut them in half, put them back to back, and just...
Well, that's more like a container.
Stick, you know, held them together with little strips of wood screwed through, so they stayed in one piece, and filled it with compost, and grew the plants. The tomatoes did really, really well. I mean, we were getting so many tomatoes off it, we were giving them away. And of course, one of the neighbors,
yeah,
we were getting mangoes back, because we don't have any mangoes here, but we're getting mangoes back and other things, you know. So,
I like giving away food, is what I've come to realize. There's nothing better than growing so much food that you're forced to give it away. In fact, I don't know if I mentioned this the other night, but we just gave some friends recently a baker's dozen of our eggs that we have. You know, our chickens are laying eggs, and even though it's only three a day, we're not in the habit of eating eggs as frequently as the three a day, you know, surplus should demand. And as a result, we've had dozens of eggs sitting in our fridge, and it's a great experience to just give them away to someone, you know, just give them away.
Oh, it absolutely is, because it those people that are going to eat them, that it's not going to go to waste. And, oh, I love them yard birds, them free-range eggs. Oh, so good.
Yeah, no, they're great eggs. They're great.
So good.
They went from the pullet size to almost full size in relatively no time.
Yeah,
it
doesn't take long. It's actually kind of amazing. And eggs actually aren't as bad for you as what mainstream medicine would have you believe. They're actually fairly healthy, yeah.
Well, there you go. That's another source of protein. Not quite gardening, but, you know, it helps. And of
course,
you can use the manure.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have the chicken plants, but if you got a little bit of land, and, you know, that kind of fits into the whole survival thing, too. But,
well,
yeah.
Eggs are cackleberries, aren't they?
Yeah, there you
cackleberries.
Go.
I'm going to have a side up cackleberry, please. All right, let's talk to Jerry in Kansas. Hi, Jerry.
Bob.
How are you?
And your compadres there.
Hello, sir.
Bob, I want to know, do you have kudzu growing on your property?
Do I have what?
Kudzu.
I don't know.
You probably know.
I've heard John Moore talk about kudzu. Now, you know how here in Kansas, the county, and I think it actually comes from the state, puts out a list of what they consider noxious weeds. And
how do you spell it?
K-U-D-Z-A, I believe.
It's K-U-D-Z-U. Kudzu.
K-U-D-Z-U.
Z-U, I guess, yeah. Kudzu. But anyway.
It is prolific. I mean, if you're trying to get rid of
Kudzu, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a Japanese vine that found its way into South Carolina and is now spread.
Oh, okay. I think we do have these growing on our property. It's a, is this what they call air potato? No, it's not. It's different.
I guess it's kind of a, there's a supposed to be a book on it, Book of Kudzu, and it is a good plant to... You know, if everything else fails, you can eat the kudzu root. You can, I have no experience with it, but I think you can even bale the kudzu vine to feed to your animals.
It says the roots contain starch.
They're very hard to kill.
Yes.
Kudzu is next possible.
Yes, I've heard.
Oh, yeah. I know from whence I speak here. Very prolific.
Dave, where do you...
If you're kudzu, you probably kind of want to try to isolate it from the rest of your stuff. Otherwise, it's going to take over absolutely everything. Resistance is few. You will submit it to
kudzu. Well, Dave, where what's it? Arkansas, and you have it on your property? So do you use
sure
it?
Enough, I don't think with it more than just, you know, use it for cover. You know,
it looks like a bean.
Yeah, it kind of does.
It's a legume, isn't it?
I'm never about to actually eat for a food. I'm going to look at it because it's starting to be impossible. That's good too.
When I learned how to, I started roasting dandelion root, and it does make a very tasty tea. I just roast the dandelion root after I clean it in my crock pot so it didn't heat up the kitchen and stuff. And then you grind it up in your blender, and I was using like about a teaspoon for a cup of tea. And it makes a very tasty tea, and it's got a lot of minerals in it. And but the big roots are the only ones worth digging, and the you can kind of tell if you get a big root by the size of the leaves. The leaves are big, really big. And when I started doing that, man, it's like the, you know, I actually tried... started using that weed, I had less dandelions. So maybe you should use your kudzu, Dave, and maybe you'll have less kudzu.
Yeah, maybe.
And by the way, Bob, the yolk of an egg are a good source of lecithin. That's another
what?
Reason you should, the yolk of eggs
lecithin?
Are a source of lecithin.
Really? And sunflowers you can also get lecithin from.
Yes.
Interesting.
But,
My wife was taking a lecithin supplement. I think she still does for her breastfeeding. And she didn't want to take the soy lecithin, which is the common one. So she found the sunflower lecithin.
Well, you know, what another good source of lecithin is actually the blossom on the dandelion. So that's another good reason to make dandelion wine.
All right, Director Stout, we got to take a break and we'll come right back.
Okay, that's all I had.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
Come to Finca Bio, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture at Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epinetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's
888-311-4311. Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would never believe that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Woo! Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest pick. Is that multi-cam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Through their mysteries of propaganda, each is being told of the theater, the movie, the radio, every cultural activity and every channel of information.
Well, times is tough, all right.
Yeah, I'll say.
It's the future, kid.
The future. All right, closing remarks for our survival gardening talk. The number one tip I think I can recommend is start now. That's right, folks. If you think that you're going to be able to just start growing a survival garden with the snap of a finger, you got another thing coming to you. Because every single year that I try gardening, hence the word try, or should I say, every year I practice gardening, I learn something else. I find a new challenge. I come across a new bug or a new gap in my ability to grow food, and I learn, and I adjust, and I continue to grow, both in the sense of the food and, well, my knowledge. And I think that's important. I think people need to start growing, start practicing gardening now. So that's the number one tip for tonight's show. David, what was the number one tip for tonight's show?
Practice, and I could not agree more, because it takes a little while to really get a rhythm down to it and get everything figured out. Everybody's situation is going to be a little bit different. You're going to have, you know, differences in your soil and your climate and how much land you have and, you know, what kind of foods you want to grow, you know, that are going to play into your ultimate survival. You need to know, like you said earlier, you know, how many people you're going to want to be able to feed and be able to have enough excess to, you know, have any fall for, you know, pests and parasites, bad weather, you know, any of that kind of stuff. Like I said, everybody's situation is different, and if you do your homework, you won't be caught off guard. Because if you're trying to do this last minute, all of a sudden everything collapses, the grocery store is empty. Oh, it's time to grow a garden? Well, guess what? It's a little bit too late.
How much space do you need?
As much as you can get.
My own opinion is one of the things you should do is find out, look, get a few books, look to see what grows in the wild naturally, like hazelnuts in the hedgerows, or mushrooms, or there's lots of food out there that nobody goes near, but it's freely available, and it's growing wild.
And this stuff that tends to want to grow wild, if you want to actually deliberately grow it, since it already grows wild in your area, it's going to be a whole lot easier than forcing something else to grow that doesn't necessarily like your climate or your soil.
Yeah, we're going to do a whole show, and I have done them in the past, on eating the weeds and foraging.
Yep, we sure have.
Looking for native crops. That's an important topic. And also, the other thing is camouflaging your crops. You know, if you're in a survival situation and there's unrest, you're not going to want to have blatantly obvious food crops growing so that everyone can see it, hence putting a target on your back. You know, you're going to want to grow those crops covertly.
Yeah, and look hungry like everybody else.
Well, certain crops are more of an obvious, hey, here's food, come get me. And you might want to stay away from those crops. You might want to limit the amount of tomatoes you grow. Because obviously they will attract predators of a number of different sorts. So hiding food and figuring out ways to camouflage your food might come in handy as well. All right, that does it for us tonight. Jordan Maxwell will be our guest tomorrow night on the Bob Tuscan Show. Dave, John, happy gardening to both of you.
Absolutely, stay safe.
Bob Tuscan Show.
Mountain 60.
Good night, folks.